This podcast brought to you by Peterson Auto Group. With 5 stores and 10 brands and more than 1,800 new and used vehicles to choose from, Peterson Auto Group likely has your perfect car.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
All right, it's 8:39. Paul J. and Chris. See the breaking news on the shooting in Las Vegas from 10 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening on the Ellen DeGeneres show. Did you see that?
No.
The Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino security guard, who was hailed for being the first to confront the Las Vegas shooter, Stephen Paddock,
yeah,
gave his first public account of the attack in an interview on the Ellen DeGeneres show yesterday.
Hmm.
Jesus Campos and Mandalay Bay building engineer Stephen Shuck were both guests of the talk show host in an interview taped yesterday. As I was walking down the hallway, I heard rapid fire, Campos told DeGeneres. I took cover, felt a burning sensation.
Yeah.
I went to go lift my pant leg up and saw blood. I called in on my radio that shots were fired. Yeah, because they hit me. The show released an 8-minute clip of the interview last night. The full episode will air this afternoon.
And we know now that he was shot before any of the people at the concert were shot. Yeah.
He was the first one shot. Laid out his recollection of the incidents leading up to the Paddock firing on a crowd at a country music festival across the street from Mandalay Bay. 58 people were killed, hundreds more injured in the deadliest shooting in modern U.S. history. The account by Campos, I guess people pointed out that back in U.S. history, there were massacres of Indians, et cetera.
Well, not by one guy.
Where more than 58 people were killed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the record with an asterisk. Campos said he was called to check an open door on the 32nd floor while he was on the 31st floor. When he went to the stairwell, he found the door to the 42nd floor was jammed. So he walked up to the next floor and came back down to the 32nd floor.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so he went up above and came down.
Gotcha.
The door was jammed using brackets.
Yeah, because it had been fastened shut on mm-hmm. purpose by Paddock.
As Campos was walking down the hallway with his back to the suite Paddock was in, the gunman opened fire. Campos said he realized he'd been hit and was bleeding. Shuck reached the 32nd floor and approached the same hallway, completely unaware of the situation. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Once I got more than halfway down the hallway is when I saw Jesus and heard shooting, Shuck said. At first, I thought it was a jackhammer. Jesus leaned down and said, "Take cover, take cover," yelled at me, and within milliseconds, if he didn't say that, I would have been shot. Shuck described the pressure of the bullets flying past his head as he immediately ducked behind the doorframe.
Hmm. I'm looking up some of the information here. It says, despite his appearance on the Ellen show, we still don't know the exact sequence of events in the Mandalay Bay Hotel before, during, and after Stephen Paddock opened fire, specifically how much time elapsed between Campos's radio and phone notification of the shooting to hotel security and the arrival of two on-site police officers on the 32nd floor, what Mr. Campos said and how, when, or if that information was relayed to the Las Vegas police. So that's just another somebody else pointing out the things we don't know yet.
Yeah. It says here, neither guest elaborated further on the situation or clarified why it took 20 minutes for police to reach the 32nd floor.
Yeah. Well, you know, chances are, I mean, no matter how prepared you are, if you find out that even if there's just somebody shooting down the hallway at whoever's walking in the hallway with a uniform on,
yep,
you're going to want to prepare and get some backup for that, I think. Let me run up and see what's going on. Did he ever come back? No.
Yeah. Campo said this is going to be his only public comment on the shooting.
Just the Ellen Show, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Isn't that fun?
Well, you'd think that, I mean, he would be on, I don't know, CNN or, you know, NBC or ABC or something.
Previously, he had spoken to NBC, Shuck had.
Yeah.
But Campos had drawn attention after skipping out on previously scheduled interviews with both Fox News and other outlets.
Hmm. I wonder why.
He disappeared after requesting to go to a walk-in medical clinic when he was being interviewed by the Associated Press.
Yeah, I'm still curious as
it's
to
a weird
why.
Weird deal.
I'm still curious as to why the authorities did change their account several days after the attack, saying that Paddock had opened fire on the guard 6 minutes before he executed his plan to shoot into the crowd at the concert. Instead of after. Because originally it was like this guy was responding. They said this guy was responding to the shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he was hurt, because he was responding to the shooting. And that's when the shooting stopped, is when, you know, and he was a big hero because he was in the hallway. I mean, he was still somewhat of a hero because he was the first person to confront the shooter before he actually started becoming known as the shooter. And did alert everybody else as to what floor it was on, and you know, I don't know.
This is all so funny. Shuck was gifted with an all-expenses-paid trip to an Indianapolis Colts game, while Campos was given season tickets to the Oakland Raiders once they moved to Vegas. KBOI News Time.
That's interesting.
Wonder if he has to go. KBOI News Time, 8:46.
You're listening to Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. and Chris. Rush Limbaugh comes up at 10 on 670 KBOI.
It's 8:51. Idaho Talks Live. Paul J. Schneider, Chris Walton. And let's see, Dave Aboise, send us an instant message that says, doesn't high-rise buildings or don't high-rise buildings have alarms that sound if a window is open or broken? If they don't, maybe they should be required from now on. I thought they would already have such a system in place for suicide attempts. Interesting.
That's not a bad idea.
I know the windows don't actually, you can't just check into a high-rise hotel in Las Vegas and open the window for extra air or something.
You can slide some of them. But they're not. They don't open wide enough for a person or a dog even to get through.
Which is probably wise.
Yeah, yeah. It's not a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's not like the movies either.
The thing is, by the time
you can throw a chair through,
you know, by the time he'd shot the window and then was firing at people across the street at the concert site. If the alarm was going off in the place, that would just add to the confusion, I think.
Maybe.
So I don't know. I've never heard that there was an alarm going off. All I heard was that they were very methodically emptying out the rooms on the 32nd floor and those directly below or below and above.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't think there was an alarm.
But it's like you say, not a lot of brand new information or really any.
It'd be interesting. Now, probably if I remember, and I have trouble doing that.
You'll tape Ellen.
Yeah, and just.
on the DVR.
Yeah. and just see what they have to say.
Yeah.
I thought the whole thing was interesting that she would be the one to break the...
Well, yeah, and I guess it's simply because Campos doesn't really want to be on a lot of different TV shows and things like that, but apparently he, felt comfortable going on the show, you know, pre-taped with Ellen.
And he got those tickets.
Yeah, and B, he got season tickets to the Raiders, which, I mean, who knows whether that'll... you know, end up being something good or bad when they moved to Las Vegas anyway. But, and I, it was kind of interesting. I looked up to see what they looked like. And the other guy, the one that they gave him an Indianapolis Colts ticket, he looks a little bit like Peyton Manning.
Kind of does.
So I thought that was kind of funny. Maybe that's why he wanted one.
Yeah. Oh, very interesting. The news has really died down on that shooting.
Yeah.
And there's so many.
Well, I mean, it's obviously still important, but there's just not really any new information coming out.
No, there's a lot of unanswered questions.
They didn't find out what this guy's motivation was, if any, or his excuse or whatever you want to call it.
Right. Well.
Basically, they just the only thing they've come up with was this is a guy who wanted to go out in a, you know, not
blaze of glory,
not necessarily glory, but in a blaze anyway.
And nobody's still sure whether or not he had suicide, you know, by
on
cop
his mind.
Tied
well, yeah.
into that.
Because there's still a possibility that
there were things
that he thought he could, you know, when they were emptying the place out, that yep. he could just get out the, because he had a suite that had more than one door to the
right
to the hallway, and so okay, he could have gone out a door and oh no, you know, pretended to be one of those people, but he didn't have a chance.
Yeah, interesting stuff.
Yeah. But nothing new.
No,
and I mean, and the usual things after a shooting, you know, people talk about the NRA and they talk about guns and they talk about what to do about this and that, and generally, very little comes of that because within a week or two, people move on to some other story.
Yep.
Even the people whose main focus is trying to get rid of guns, they tend to move on to something else.
Yep. Something else always there to take the place. It's 8:56. We'll be back with more Idaho Talks Live.
KBOI.
If you're talking about it...
They don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning. We are back. KBOI News Time 9:06. Five people have been shot at an office park in the Maryland community of Edgewood. The shooter is believed to be on the loose. A deputy with the Hartford County Sheriff's Office said a few moments ago. The shooter apparently has left the scene, which is the M. Morton Business Park in Edgewood, 30 miles northeast of Baltimore.
Well,
no one has been arrested.
And apparently, they finally put the news out. But I guess this happened just shortly before 7:30 our time, because it happened before 9:30 in Baltimore. So it's been about an hour and a half since it happened. But the news is just coming out now.
Yeah, the network TV news people have had nothing yet. Aerial video from CNN affiliate WBAL, big station in Baltimore, showed numerous police vehicles at the office complex located just south of an Interstate 95 interchange.
Yeah. At 7:11 a.m. their time, a Twitter account called Hartford Sheriff, so it must be Hartford County in Maryland, wrote, "Alert police activity in area of Emmerton Business Park. Avoid the area." And then at 7:43, the same account said, "We can confirm we're on the scene of a shooting in the M. Morton Business Park. Multiple injuries reported." And then at 8:50 a.m., Which is still, again, it's their time, which would have been
20 minutes ago.
Yeah. Somebody said, as of, it was at 10:50 their time, 8:50 our time. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. As of 10:45 a.m., shock trauma clinicians are evaluating two patients from M. Orton Business Park shooting in Harford County. And it's Harford, not Hartford. So Harford County in Edgewood. There we go.
Five schools in the Edgewood area are on lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
See, Students are being kept in the buildings.
I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
that they do that. That happened to Rick Worthington here a week or so ago. He was someplace, and all of a sudden, you know, the police were looking for somebody, and he was in at the school. One of his children goes to this particular school, and that school was locked down, and two or three others right there in that immediate area were all locked down, which is great. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're afraid that the person's going to run into a school, but it means that they don't want any of the kids to run out, you know, while something is going on, whether there's, you know, recess or between classes, depending on the school or whatever it is, that they don't want any of the kids to, you know, to be in danger. So they just lock down the school and say, everybody stay where you are.
So five people have been shot. None have been killed so far as we can determine. All five obviously wounded. There you have it. So,
yeah, and we're getting all kinds of reports that say multiple casualties. Mm-hmm. Or there was one that said two confirmed dead, but I don't know that for a fact.
I haven't seen that one.
And again, it depends on who's confirming it.
Also true.
Yeah. So somebody called News Channel 24 said that, but then it's disappeared. So might be wrong.
Shooting in or near Baltimore, Maryland this morning.
It's kind of interesting that I didn't make this up, but somebody came up with this several years ago, and I've always kind of used it. It's called the Breaking News Consumer's Handbook.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very... It's very simple. It says, number one, in the immediate aftermath, news outlets will get it wrong. Okay, because there's a lot of, we heard this from somebody else who heard this from somebody else who heard this.
Yep, exactly.
And when you're hearing that, you know, so-and-so is reporting this, it doesn't mean it's happening. It just, what they're saying is, I'm reporting that somebody else reported it. Number two, it says, don't trust anonymous sources. Number three, don't trust stories that cite another news outlet as the source of the information, which is
true.
Basically what I just said. Mm-hmm. Number four, and this is interesting because they're talking about it in particular being a shooting. Number four, there's almost never a second shooter.
True.
Yeah. Number five, pay attention to the language the media uses. We are getting reports could mean anything. We are seeking confirmation means we don't have confirmation. And the name of the news outlet has learned means it has a scoop or is going out on a limb. And that information also, despite being new, might also be incorrect. Number six is look for news outlets close to the incident. Number seven, compare multiple sources. And number eight, big news, especially on social media, big news brings out the fakers and the Photoshoppers. And number nine, and this is important for the person who is the media consumer, beware reflexive retweeting. Some of this is on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
This happens all over the place. And occasionally it happens to radio stations and different people and little local newspapers that they will get what they consider to be a scoop on something. And it will turn out to be either completely fabricated by someone or it'll be a headline that was actually in The Onion and meant to be a joke.
Yeah, yeah.
Or something of that nature.
CNN News has put down exactly what they have.
Right.
Maryland shooting live updates. And it's got at least five people were shot at the Emerton Business Park in Edgewood. The shooter has left the scene. Is believed to be on the loose. Special agents from the Baltimore Field Division of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms are on the scene. Special agents from ATF's Baltimore Field Division are on the scene at Emerton Business Park shooting scene to assist partners, and they got the Hartford Sheriff listed. We can't confirm we on the scene of a shooting. Mm-hmm. That's from the Hartford Sheriff.
But there again, you know, until you actually get the Sheriff's Department having a press briefing and giving details, you don't know if any of the details are correct until then.
Yeah,
because
now,
you've got somebody telling somebody telling somebody else.
Now listen to this.
All right.
As of 10:45 a.m., shock trauma clinicians are evaluating two patients from Emerton Business Park shooting. At least five people were shot. It's unclear where the other three victims are.
Okay, so now you hear that, your mind might go to, well, if five people were confirmed shot and two of them are being evaluated, the other three might not need to be evaluated.
Also true.
Or they might not, you know, be in shock trauma. They might be in, you know, well, outpatient. I've been briefly shot.
Mm-hmm. So,
but we don't know.
That's all we know.
Yeah.
KBOI News Time, 9:15.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
KBOI rewards code, SOURCE, SOURCE, mm-hmm. SOURCE. Go to 670KBOI.com, enter SOURCE, earn today's 5,000 rewards points.
I wanted to quickly here read, Dave wrote back again. Dave had written earlier talking about the shooter in Las Vegas and said he wanted to know if, and I didn't know the answer, if high-rise buildings like the hotels in Las Vegas had a system where if a window is somehow opened or broken, then an alarm goes off. And I said, you know, we didn't know, but it sounds like a good idea. But he says, Dave again says, if it was a monitored automated system, then they would know precisely what floor and room the threat would be in. Maybe they could turn on the sprinklers or something. I would think in most cases that every second would count. And yeah, that... those all seem like pretty good ideas. I just wonder if that's the way it is. I do not know. And that would be one of those things where you really hope it didn't malfunction.
Well, yeah, it's kind of an interesting scenario, too. Say you saw that a couple of windows in a suite like this was had gone out, and so you hit the black button.
Yeah.
With the skull and crossbones on it, and it fills the room with stuff that makes you pass out or whatever.
Exactly.
And it was a guilty thing, and the people pass out and fall out the window.
Right.
32 stories to their death.
Right.
Hey, have fun with that lawsuit.
Yeah. I'm thinking that would probably happen, like, what, no more than 80% of the time, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, right after we got off the air... yesterday, we got these headlines that a leading Republican senator says that he and a top Democrat have reached an agreement on a plan to extend federal payments to health insurers that were blocked by the president a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Republican Senator Lamar Alexander from Tennessee told reporters yesterday in the afternoon that the next step will be for himself and his negotiating partner, the Democrat Patty Murray, to win enough support from colleagues to push it through Congress, because that's always the next step.
Mm-hmm.
This is a short-term deal, the president said. Now, he halted the insurance payments last week, but has said he wants a bipartisan deal to continue them temporarily. And a lot of people argue over what bipartisan means.
Mm-hmm.
Because, okay, during the whole time that Obama was president, people were complaining about the fact that he was signing executive orders because he couldn't get Congress to pass something, so he would sign an executive order.
Right.
And, of course, a lot of the first things that Donald Trump did when he became president was to nullify those executive orders, because the next executive can do that. Okay, if Congress passes it, you can't just nullify it. You can veto something, obviously, but you know, but there is a there can be a veto-proof vote.
Sure,
but the next executive can nullify what the previous executive orders had been, and he spent some time doing that, and this was kind of one of those. And there are people who say, well, everybody says, well, we need people to reach across the aisle and there needs to be some bipartisan agreement. And to certain people, that means, okay, like the general public, people like us, it means that a certain number of Democrats and a certain number of Republicans, I guess you'd call them a committee, and there are so many standing committees anyway that are supposed to be doing this sort of thing, but they get into a room, they discuss ideas, and they compromise on a whole bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
To other people, what reaching across the aisle means is that every once in a while, you people need to vote for something we like.
Well,
even though you don't like it, and therefore it might open us up to vote for a few things that we don't currently like that you do.
True. Both are true.
And the point of that is that people, they want to be kind of remembered for sweeping legislation when it comes. Well, and if you're trying to solve problems, big solutions tend to be desired by everyone, right? Mm-hmm. Like if taxes are too high, well, then desperately lower taxes or greatly lower taxes. If health insurance premiums are through the roof, then get rid of this program that's wasting this money and put it over here, and et cetera, et cetera. So you want to solve the problem in a big way, and the kind of the purpose and what Congress has been doing for the last 200 years is solving most problems, assuming they've solved any, very, very slowly over a long period of time, and finally doing it with a lot of input, a lot of different solutions, and then quite often solving them in a very mild kind of way. And the one thing about it, when you get a majority, especially a supermajority, in the House or in the Senate, you have an opportunity to solve problems in a big way if you can agree with one another.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah. But there are people who said, well, all the Republicans did for 8 years was obstruct, and all the Democrats are doing now is obstructing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, maybe we need to go back to that thing where things get done, but very, very slowly.
Well, and then there are those who say, we're better off if we don't pass laws anyway.
9:26, news is next.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul Jay and Chris. More local talk with Nate Shellman is live this afternoon at 3 on 670 KBOI.
Well, the sheriff in Harford County in Maryland has said that five people indeed were shot at that business park in they're near Baltimore, not actually within the city limits of Baltimore, but near
Correct.
There. And that, yes, three of them were killed. And the reason they only reported two in the trauma ward is, yes, two are still alive. They're in the hospital and apparently are being operated on or evaluated at the moment. And the individual managed to kill three of them.
Dang.
So we don't yet have we don't have a motive. I mean, very much like the Las Vegas shooting, we don't have a motive. There are considerably fewer people, but it usually turns out to be somebody's mad at somebody, either because of they've been fired from a job, or somebody's got an ex that works there, and they just decide to take it out on as many people as possible. And they are calling it a targeted attack, which kind of makes sense.
Yep, and a targeted attack can...
That's just the opposite of random, so...
Yeah, well, it can take place without the shooter getting very close.
Yeah.
And they may not have a clue on identity.
The shooter was identified... The Harford County Sheriff is named Jeffrey Gahler, or Gaylor. I'm not sure. It's G-A-H-L-E-R. And he identified the... suspect is 37-year-old Radid Labib Prince. And that's R-A-D-E-E-D, Radid, Labib, L-A-B-E-E-B, Prince. So Radid Prince. He says, we have lost three lives so far this morning in Harford County. Adding, it was not a random shooting. It was a targeted attack. All five of the victims are believed to have been employees of Advanced Granite Solutions. So I don't know whether, you know, that's that might be just a company that deals in granite countertops or something.
Mm-hmm.
But the Harford County Sheriff's Office said the shooting did take place, as we said earlier, at the Emmerton Business Park in Edgewood, which is about 20 miles northeast of downtown Baltimore. So three dead.
Yep.
That's that.
Another day, another shooting.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny how quickly this story disappeared. Really not much of it on the...
Well, they don't really know much about why it happened yet. But again, this could be somebody who is simply disgruntled. It was kind of amazing. You know, you go back to the 80s, and that's when they came up with the term going postal.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were several... I don't want to say...
Disenchanted.
Yeah, there were several what they call workplace shootings, which is... you know, basically somebody either gets fired or gets mad at somebody and then shoots up the workplace. And three or four of them in a couple year period happened at post offices with right. postal workers. And they were always described as a disgruntled former postal worker or a disgruntled postal worker. And so within a few years, people would joke about going postal, meaning you'd get really, really mad and want to shoot everybody, whether you actually did it or not. And the people who worked at the post office didn't like that one bit, you know, because seriously, every time they'd tell somebody they worked at the post office, somebody would say something like, well, aren't you afraid? Well, no, it's a post office.
Generally, do you have a big gun?
Generally, they're just a place, you know, where packages and whatnot are handled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, shipping and handling, that's the handling part. Well, also the shipping. That's why you pay for it.
Amazing.
Because of the shipping and handling.
All right. KBOI News Time is 9:41. Paul, Jay, and Chris on a Wednesday.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 3, listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
Another bad day for President Trump. On the widow.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where he told the widow, the soldier knew what he signed up for. You can... Excuse for saying that, I guess.
Well,
I was
going to
say
it's not how it came out. Yeah, I know. It's not the most elegant thing in the world to say, but out of context, you know. Let's put it this way. There are times when I will give him the benefit of the doubt.
Well, you have to here, I guess.
You know, because at least he called. That's a good thing. We've got a caller, correct? Okay, who have we got?
We do. Let's go to Brett.
Fred. Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Hey, Fred.
Good, Fred.
Hey, I'm originally from Maryland, and I'm very familiar with the Emmerton Business Park, but I wanted to correct something. It's not really close to Baltimore.
Oh, okay.
As the crow flies, it might be, but by the time you're done driving I-95 and then the 695 Beltway and getting down I-83, it takes you probably a good 45 to 50 minutes from mm-hmm. Edgewood to get there. I actually lived in Abingdon, which is in the town next door to Edgewood. As an aside, Edgewood is where the Edgewood Arsenal is, which is the annex to Aberdeen Proving Grounds.
Okay.
Yeah, I think one of the stories said 35 miles.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But, traffic is so horrible.
You're right. In that whole area, I was in, we were in Northern Virginia one time, and some friends wanted to meet us in Baltimore, and we were going to go to an Orioles game. And I thought, well, let's try to get there a few hours ahead of time. And as it turned out, in our effort to get there maybe 3 hours ahead of time, we got there 20 minutes before the game started.
Right. And also, just as a quick thing, I heard you guys talking about President Trump calling the soldier's family.
Mm-hmm.
It was definitely taken out of context, because what he actually said was, I'm sure he knew what he signed up for, but it still hurts.
Yeah.
And that's the part that's not being reported, and I got to tell you, that's a little upsetting when I hear people just going off.
Yeah, I was guessing that.
Saying,
I was figuring he probably didn't say, well, he knew what he signed up for, because that,
exactly.
I mean, nobody would say that.
Nobody is that callous.
Even if you don't like Donald Trump, you got to understand he probably wouldn't say that on the phone to somebody like that.
I will tell you that that man has more respect for our military than any of our past presidents I've seen in quite a while, save for maybe President Bush.
Interesting.
And I served for 21 years. And the last president was the reason why I retired, because I couldn't take it anymore. The politics of the Washington should have no business being in the military, not at the level that I was at. I retired as an E-7, and it was just way too political. I mean, to give you an example, I was Bradley Manning's teacher, unfortunately.
Really?
Yeah, I failed him. And in all fairness, I failed him, and I tried to get him kicked out, but my battalion commander overrode my decision and sent him to Fort Huachuca. He became an all-source analyst, and the rest is history.
Yeah, and well, he's not Bradley. Anymore.
He says he's not.
Well, okay, I don't know. Yeah, that's a whole other.
I know the little punk, so you know, I'll reserve judgment.
Yeah.
So anyway,
gotcha.
You gentlemen have a great day.
Alrighty.
And a great weekend.
Okay.
All right, Fred. Thanks.
Interesting stuff.
That's I love when we get people who are close to the source.
Yeah.
And what he said is right. It doesn't matter how you feel about President Trump or President Obama or any of them.
Well, and again,
they're not going to diss somebody for serving in the military. They're not going to do it.
Part of the there are a lot of elements that go into this story in the first place. And there were four servicemen who were killed, and they were special forces, and they were killed in the country that I've always pronounced Niger, but they've been calling it Niger because that's the French pronunciation. It's, you know, which is in Africa. Most people had no idea that we had any of our military personnel in that country. Here's something fun. If you read, like, for instance, Breitbart or something of that nature, mm-hmm. that Niger is on the continent of Africa. That's where they get most of the uranium.
Really?
Yeah. And so you'd have to look at Breitbart and probably Fox News and a couple of other, well, things that aren't NBC or ABC to find out that the uranium story is back in the news again. But again, it's one of those, it's going around on the internet, and let's put it this way, as usual, there's a certain percentage of the news that's covering it and a certain percentage of the news that's not. And this is about the uranium sales to Russia back in the days when Mrs. Clinton was the Secretary of State. So, you know, and whoever knows where the source is on that,
mm-hmm.
because it tends to come from a lot of different places. But anyway, that was in the news yesterday, or at least in the news on the internet yesterday, if not anyplace else. But, so people are saying, well, did that have anything to do with the fact that they were in that country? I don't know. It's a secret mission, so you can't really tell everybody why they were there, but these guys were killed, and the president didn't mention it publicly for 10 days, which everyone thought was strange. They said, why didn't they? And he wasn't there to meet, you know, as presidents have done, meet the casket of the body.
Right.
And the body is it was loaded off the plane as it came back to the United States, even though there have been other presidents that, you know, did that in the middle of the night. This particular president was doing something else. Depending on who you listen to, he was playing golf or whatever. But so, you know, everybody's criticizing, you know, the way he handled this, the way he didn't handle this, the way he ignored this, the way he didn't ignore this. And simply what he said yesterday is that, you know, I'm writing letters to the families of these four guys, and I'm going to be calling or something. He didn't exactly know, you know, what he'd be doing, which some people said that's just an excuse because he wasn't going to do anything. And all of a sudden he is. Other people said, you know, that's good to give him a few days, whatever. And then this congresswoman that heard the conversation, you know, claimed that he was very callous in the way he talked mm-hmm. about it, which, you know, that's just the way she took it. I don't know. Most people, I think, would appreciate a call. in a situation like that from the executive, you know, whether it's somebody they voted for or not.
True.
And that's been a lot of the way the politics have been during this presidency and the last presidency.
Yeah, it's getting so...
We're hearing a lot of it actually from the White House now. That, you know, that people are dividing into different camps and saying, you know, not my president. Well, people did that under the last president as well. They said, well, that's not my president, you know, because I don't believe anything he says. And people say that this time, different people, obviously. And there are some people that say, well, you know, both of these presidents, what they criticize about them is that they are, as far as they're concerned, governing only the people who support them. And, you know, and that's probably not, it's not completely true of either side, I would guess.
I would think that's correct.
But I could be wrong.
Hey. Yeah.
And as I'm finding out from probably Twitter right now.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But that's kind of what happened is people just say, okay, you know, it, and you hear that from a lot of the talk shows. If you listen to a lot of the shows, there are people who would simply like, Donald Trump to be left alone. They said, stop paying attention to everything he says. Well, we don't do that. We don't not pay attention to... That's interesting language. We don't not pay attention. We don't ignore what the President of the United States says or tweets because
he's the president.
And or she, in this case he and in every other case he, is the President of the United States. And so they say something and it's supposed to be or it tends to be the official release of whatever we are saying, you know, it's the statement of the United States of America.
Right.
In the case of Donald Trump, I don't think he feels that way because he will just simply give you his quick opinion of something.
Yep.
Very much off the cuff at times. And, you know, he gets up in the morning and watches the news and then tweets stuff like that. And yes, it's different than any other president has ever done. And some people think it's extremely inappropriate and it never works out right. Other people just love it. Now, I don't know the percentages of people who love it and the people who hate it. And I think the only time we're going to find that out is either in 2018 or in 2020.
True.
When people go and vote.
True.
And if it looks like people don't like what he's doing, you'll find out then. And if it looks like people do love what he's doing, you'll also find out then.
Very interesting time. And very, very different.
May you live in interesting times.
Very different than it's ever been before.
I don't know that anybody's not ever lived in interesting times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can get bored, but
this will dribble down, for lack of a better word, into regional politics, state politics, county politics,
sure,
city politics.
Well, and of course,
It's a huge change to everything.
And as long as there has been an America, there has been an argument, you know, which is more patriotic, supporting everything that the elected official does or criticizing everything that the elected official does.
Keep a tight rein on that guy.
Depending on who you are, there are people who say both are extremely patriotic.
Yep.
Because in one, you are making sure that things are going well with your government, and in the other, you know, you're kind of letting the other person do it.
Amazing.
Yeah, we haven't solved it today and probably won't tomorrow, although we will be back tomorrow and we'll see.